We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From Pod World Headquarters, this is the Carolina Insider from Learfield.
We're back. Time for another edition of the Carolina Insider. Jones, Adam here with you. Got Adam committed enough to be back in studio. And I have to say, Adam, not exactly jazzed to have to recap this Georgia Tech game, but that's what we're going to do.
I don't think it was very nice of you that I don't come to one pod and you deactivate my ID card to get in the building.
Yeah, that's right.
That seemed harsh to me.
Adam had to call security to try to get in, and they're like, we don't have you on the list anymore, sir.
It says here you weren't on Friday's show.
Says here, not committed.
Below the line.
Yeah, you are below the line. Well, the Tar Heels were below the line on Saturday. We're going to talk about that. The loss to Georgia Tech, 45-22 in Atlanta. We do have a really good interview. Corey Holiday, former Tar Heel wide receiver and now an assistant AD at Carolina, does a ton of work with football. And this was a really interesting interview. We talked to Corey about football and his time and all that stuff, but we also talk a lot about his sons and his family, and he really has a unique story there. He's got one son, Christopher, who is on the football team. He has another son, Nicholas, who we mentioned in a show a couple of weeks ago, who as a teenager has signed a professional soccer contract. And so we talked some about just navigating some really unique scenarios as far as all that stuff is concerned. Plus, Corey's just a great guy. So I think you'll enjoy hearing that. Somebody who's, you know, been a huge part of Carolina Athletics now since the early 1990s. So looking forward to that.
Mostly, we just wanted to ask him for parenting advice.
Yeah, that's right. How are you doing things right? And we are not. Adam has a list. And who else? What else? Who knows? I don't know. We got a lot to talk about. And at about 9 o'clock on Saturday night, Adam said, "Honey, get my phone. I've got the GoPuff app on there. We got some serious things that we need to order to help me get through this." GoPuff.com, get everything delivered right to your door. snacks, drinks, cleaning stuff, school supplies. There's the website, GoPuff.com. You can get the app like Adam does. Just go right to the App Store, look for GoPuff. And use that code VARSITY at checkout, $10 off your first two orders. Order minimum may apply. Offer valid through January 1st, 2022. Adam, you look like you're ready to say something.
Hot news. Hot news. Hot news.
Hot news. Hot. Get it while it's hot.
Our man on the street, Asher, has placed a GoPuff order.
Oh, baby.
And has given me the following review.
Okay.
Completely unsolicited.
Yeah.
Really simple to use. Has a point system, which is really helpful towards rewards. That's Jim Lucas' son right there. Building up the coupons. Grandson. There's an order minimum of $10.95.
We just said order minimum may apply, Asher. Are you not listening to the fine print?
So the varsity code doesn't get you items for free. No loophole there, sadly. Again, Lucas Genetics.
Yeah.
There are a wide variety of items available, and it has a tracking ability so you can see where your order is. It said they are adding items consistently. There was one specific item he wanted that he wasn't able to get, but that might be available soon. Another plus is that the rewards are called Puff Points.
Yeah.
Very catchy. No, Asher.
I do like that.
Very quick delivery. Estimated 25 minutes. Only took 10.
Wow.
All items in very good condition. Justin Tucker just made a 66-yard field goal to win the game. That is the complete review of the Puff Points.
Yeah. Get your own Puff Points.
So you can't beat the system and order $2 worth and GoPuff has to bring you $8.
All right, well, order minimum may apply.
But the order minimum is only $10.95.
Yeah.
And you get a $10
discount. Yeah. The Puff Points just strengthens my feeling that Puff Johnson needs to work something out with GoPuff.com.
Every time he makes a shot, it's Puff Points.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, we can't do all the work for this.
It's illegal for the university to broker an NIL deal for an athlete. All I'm doing is throwing this out here, guys. His name is Puff. Your name is Puff.
Eric, that sophomore Puff Johnson just scored 3 more Puff Points, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Let's go to Saturday, Adam.
Mm.
It was not a good performance. And to me, the biggest disappointment is that Carolina still seems to be very inconsistent. Like, the Tar Heels were great against Virginia, but then they struggled in this game. And I don't, and I'm not just talking about this year. I'm going back to last year. This is the fourth straight road loss to an unranked team when Carolina was ranked. That happens once, that's one thing. 4 times is a lot to lose to an unranked team on the road when you are a ranked team. And I don't know the answer to that. I know Mac Brown is mad about it. I don't even think frustrated is the right word. I think mad's the right word of why that keeps happening. Why do the Tar Heels continue to have similar performances? Because I do think Florida State last year, Virginia Tech this year, Georgia Tech this year, not as much Virginia last year. That played out a little differently, although there were still some similarities in there. You know, why do those performances keep happening in these very similar scenarios? And what Mac Brown seems to be angriest about, from talking to him yesterday, from hearing his press conference yesterday, was that the same mistakes, to use his words, keep happening. So, you know, why do the Tar Heels fall in these big deficits on the road? Why do the turnovers become a much bigger issue in these scenarios? And it's just got to get fixed. Carolina can't be the type of team that it wants to be if it loses those type of games. And again, you're every now and then one of those may jump up and bite you. But to have those four in back-to-back seasons under similar circumstances is disappointing and something Carolina's got to figure out.
And you hoped and you felt like that the program was beyond that type of inconsistency, because there was a time where it would have been an improvement to one out of every two. You play pretty well.
Right.
A couple of years ago, that would have been welcome. But now, because of everything that's occurred and all the positive things that have happened with Carolina football, you felt like the program had reached the point where it was ready to go into Atlanta, for example, and win a game like this against a team that they're at least equal or maybe slightly better than we thought. And it just didn't happen for a variety of reasons.
It was one of those nights that when things started going bad, everything just started going bad, right? You know, Grayson Atkins makes a 48-yard field goal. Carolina gets called for an illegal motion or offside or whatever it was, and then he misses the 53-yard field goal. Carolina tips a ball up in the air defensively, which, I mean, we've all watched football. 90% of the time when a ball gets tipped up in the air in the middle of the field, it gets intercepted. This one went directly to the Georgia Tech receiver, not just for a catch, but for a first down. The fumbles were weird plays. They were. I thought Sam Howell was down. He wasn't, but I thought he was down on the second one. I thought he was in real time, and it looked like everybody else did too, because they just stood there while the Georgia Tech guy ran it back, and the only reason he didn't score is he just randomly fell down. But Mac Brown said it right on Monday. If you're a good team, you've got to be good enough to overcome the bad things. And Carolina wasn't. It just started snowballing the wrong way. And we talked about it on the radio. And you could feel it in the building. Georgia Tech's over there swaying on the sideline. And hand up, I was wrong. It was a great atmosphere in there. I thought it was going to be, oh, you're playing in this dome. It's not going to be good. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be kind of a dead atmosphere. It was, and there were a ton of Tar Heel fans there, like we thought there would be. It was a great atmosphere for a game. I do think there was a legitimate home field advantage, but it was also because Georgia Tech was playing well. And so all that energy started building and building, and Carolina got more and more frustrated and tried harder and harder to get it all back really fast, and it just kept going the wrong way. You've got to be good enough to overcome bad things, particularly on the road. And it didn't happen.
And you've got to trust yourself that you don't have to do anything extra in order to be able to overcome what this other team is doing.
And I do think right now, and it's Sam Howell is great. He's the best quarterback Carolina's ever had. It feels to me like he feels the pressure to make it happen. I haven't asked him about that. I did ask Mac Brown about it yesterday. And he did talk about, you know, Sam Howell's such a competitor. And he used a great example, which made me, when I say it, I think you can visualize it like I did. He said he's like a duck over water. He said, you see it with Sam. The way everybody sees Sam is like the duck on top of the water. He said, but underneath, those little legs are paddling a million miles an hour. He wants it so bad. And he's such a competitor. And he wants it all to be right all the time, because that's what he expects from himself and his team. And he's had more moments than not. It has been that way. But I feel like him pressing sometimes is hurting right now.
And I always think it's completely unfair to watch anyone play whatever college sport and assume that the only thing occurring in their life is what happens on the field or court or whatever.
Absolutely.
And think about everything you just know about Sam Howell, that he is an NFL prospect. This is the first year of NIL. He is the acknowledged leader of the entire team that is trying to make this leap into the national consciousness, and he is aware that pretty much rides all on him. In addition to, P.S., oh yeah, you've got school, friends, family, all those things. So I always think it's very short-sighted to think, well, clearly all these problems are because he can't read a too deep coverage or something like that.
Right.
There are other things. So, but, you know, it is a fact, as Mac Brown likes to say, Sam Howell has 8 turnovers through 4 games, and that makes it difficult.
And don't get me wrong, Sam Howell's not the reason the Tigers lost this game. But I do think he is. He wants it so badly, and I think Carolina wants it so badly that the word frustration offensively to me is again there, just like it was after Virginia Tech. Of it's like it started going wrong. It's like, well, wait a second. No, we just got to do this. And then it's, well, hold on. We'll just do this. And it just never clicked.
And I think that right now it feels like if you miss one, well, that was your opportunity.
Right.
Whereas last year you miss one, that's fine. Come back and get that later. And I don't think the offense is to the point yet where they trust each other enough to feel like, that's all right. You drop that one in the second quarter. We'll come back and get it in the third quarter. We'll make it up. It's no big deal. They're just not there yet.
Some very real things that cost Carolina this game. The turnovers, obviously. And not just the turnovers, at it, but the turnover on downs as well. Carolina had twice, I believe, that they turned it over on downs, including the big one early in the second half, where it was still 13-7 at that point, and Carolina had it second and one on around the 35-yard line or something, and couldn't get it on second and one, couldn't get it on third and one, couldn't get it on fourth and one. Mac Brown said, if you can't get a yard on 3 straight plays, you're probably not going to win. So those turnovers, we all understand the basics of football, but they also turned into points, to Georgia Tech's credit. Now, to Carolina's defense's credit, they were put in some tough situations. I thought they played well for about 3/4 of this game and then just didn't have enough. They'd been put in so many tough spots, they just didn't have enough to finish it off. The turnovers, clearly. That's 1A. 1B was the defensive penetration that Georgia Tech was able to get all night long. And whether that was 8 sacks, whether that was the amount of negative yard or 0-yard run plays, 13 total tackles for loss for Georgia Tech, and the sacks do count in that total, so 5 others in addition to the 8 sacks where they got negative yard plays. Those two things, the turnovers, the defensive penetration by Georgia Tech, and then Carolina's inability to slow down Jeff Sims in the second half, those three things, if we're just talking about football, those three things were the X and O reasons that Georgia Tech won this game.
8 sacks and 3 fumbles. That's 11 times you snap the ball that are very clear defensive wins. It's hard.
And there weren't a lot of 1-yard sacks.
Right.
It was some 13 yards, some 8 yards. I mean, you were losing a lot of yards when you were getting sacked.
And I think Phil Longo obviously is aware of this, and he said yesterday he needs to do a better job of calling some quicker hitting plays to perhaps get the ball out of Sam Howell's hands quicker. I do think that's an adjustment that could be made, but this isn't his first year coaching. He is aware of this already. It's implementing that and getting that connection between the quarterback and the receiver, which is even more important on those timing plays to enable those to work.
Mac Brown also highlighted 13 missed tackles in the game as a reason the Tar Heels were not successful. Good stat from Coach, 16-3 since he's returned, that when Carolina outrushes the opponent, the Tar Heels win. They're 1-9 when they get outrushed. I mean, that's a baby could understand that, Adam. That's and the run game looked so good, and we've talked about Sam Howell, and but you also saw some of the negatives of the quarterback running as much in this week. Sam Howell got knocked around in this game by no fault of his own. I mean, it was a physical game by both teams. It was a physical football game, and to Georgia Tech's credit, they are a good defensive team. I mean, I do believe that. But you've got to find a way to more consistently run the football. Carolina's been really good running the ball in the 2 games they've won and not very good in the 2 games they've lost. So I asked Mac Brown on Monday when we were talking about it, about the offense in total, and he said, this show isn't long enough to talk about all the things that got messed up offensively. So, a strong statement from him that he did not feel like it was a very good game on that side of the ball in any way, shape, or form.
Well, the hits on Howell, if he is one of your best options running the ball, which it looks like he consistently is, lost in the very disappointing defeat, what a great touchdown run,
yeah,
the 23-yard touchdown run that was Carolina's first score of the game. That would have been incredible from Javonte Williams.
Yeah.
That was the quarterback. If he's going to run it that much, then you have to protect him better because you know as part of the game plan, he's already going to take some hits running the ball. He can't be taking these other hits when he's trying to pass the ball because you just can't have your quarterback be hit that often. It's not good for him. It's not good for you because eventually one of those is going to be problematic.
A reminder that all season long, LS Tractor is sponsoring Carolina's rushing attack. There's been some games where that tractor's been humming, and there's been some games where it was out of gas.
Sometimes you didn't get the freeloader.
Yeah. LS Tractor commends the powerhouses and workhorses that clear the path and fight for every hard-earned rushing yard. And just like Carolina football's rushing attack, LS Tractor is proud to get your personal ground game going. It offers landowners unparalleled strength, horsepower, and traction with their quality-built and reliable tractors. Learn how you can experience the LS difference and do more for less by visiting lstractorusa.com and find a dealer near you. So, Adam, Mac Brown's... the thing he said the most on Monday was it was up to him and to the staff to get it fixed. Identify the problems, get them fixed. And if it's the same problems over and over again, change it. He was all business, I thought, as you would expect.
I think you might see a personnel change or two. It felt like that type of defeat in which, all right, we're four games in. This is if I'm a coach, which I'm pretty close. We're four games in. This isn't working. Perhaps there's some opportunity for some younger guys or guys further down the depth chart. Give them a little more opportunity. Let's see what happens.
I do think it's worth noting, and I understand that everybody's going to go, okay, Jones. I do think Carolina's had a difficult schedule to this point. And that doesn't mean the Tar Heels shouldn't be better than where they are at this point. That's not what I'm saying. They haven't been afforded the opportunity very much to play poorly and win, which I think you can do if you're playing like Duke, for example, and I'm not – Duke's 3-1. They're playing well. I mean, they stunk it up in the second game against North Carolina A&T in the first half. And yet, it was North Carolina A&T, and Duke eventually pulled away and won the game. Carolina has not been afforded that opportunity very often in these games. And Brian even said it kind of near the end of the Georgia Tech game. He said, you know, both these teams are going to be 2-2 after this game. Georgia Tech lost to Northern Illinois at the beginning of the year. But which team feels better about it going into next week? I mean, a lot of teams going to lose at Georgia Tech because I think they are getting better, as we talked about. A lot of teams going to lose at Virginia Tech. That doesn't excuse or say that Carolina should be fine with it. But they have, in a year where maybe we all underestimated how much work needed to be done to get consistently on the right page offensively because of all the new pieces, they haven't been afforded a ton of opportunities to work through some problems on the field because of who they played. And it's not getting any easier either. I mean, you've got three straight home games now, but they're all conference games. And you look at Carolina's schedule, I mean, remember, they still have three non-conference games. One of them's Notre Dame, who's top 10 in the country. One of them's Wake Forest, who looks as good as anybody in the league right now. One of them's Wofford, where you figure Carolina will win. But that Wofford game's the next to the last game of the season. That's a long way from now. So Carolina does, they got to get better. And that's about it, Adam.
Cameron sent us a good email on this topic to CarolinaInsiderPod@gmail.com. Cameron's thinking maybe there needs to be some sort of scheduling guidelines because the imbalance this season is striking. Not sure how doable it is because of the way football is scheduled, but it's a thought. Cameron realized there have been three games so far this season where it's been Coastal against Coastal. Carolina's been in all three of those games and starts the season with six conference games out of the first seven, with five of those being division games. Meanwhile, Duke, Pitt, and Miami have played zero conference games, and Virginia Tech has played three non-conference games since opening, of course, against the Tar Heels. The two other Coastal teams with multiple conference games both got to start their season with two non-conference games. Cameron says it's almost comically imbalanced. He thinks this Carolina team in particular could have benefited from some of their non-conference games being earlier. So much young talent, a clear need to find identity offensively, just what Jones was just talking about. And Cameron says, it's going to sound like I'm just whining and making excuses to any non-Carolina person, but when you read those facts that Cameron gave you about the schedule, there's no question that makes it more difficult. There's also no question, as he said, because of how football is scheduled, it's tough to make it equitable because everybody's doing their own thing, but maybe this is where the alliance could possibly be helpful if you've got, all right, weekend A and weekend B, everybody's playing an alliance game. Maybe that makes some of the other games fall into a little bit more of a rhythm.
It's a weird year for Carolina's out-of-conference schedule, too, when you've got Notre Dame and Wake Forest as two non-conference games. And, you know, this is the last time Wake is scheduled as a non-conference opponent. You're going to have the Notre Dame agreement where you play them once every whatever it is amount of years. It's just the way it kind of broke. You know, next year Carolina plays Florida A&M. They play Georgia State. That is a road game next year. They play at App State. And I don't know what the other non-conference game is off the top of my head. So it'll be a little different. And if I'm not mistaken, those are the first three games of the season next year for Carolina. Florida A&M, at App State, at Georgia State. I think those are the first three games of the year. So it'll be a little different next season, when in total Carolina's going to be more experienced next year, except at the most high profile position at the quarterback spot. So anyway, that's a discussion for another time. But again, just like Cameron said, and just like I said, I know those sound like excuses, and it doesn't take away the way that Carolina, the mistakes Carolina made or the good things Georgia Tech did on Saturday. But I do think it's been, that part has been difficult.
The fourth non-conference game next year is Notre Dame. And it falls...
Again?
That's what it says. And it falls on September 24th. So, as Jones said, Florida A&M's the first game, then at App. They're probably already tailgating for that game. Then at Georgia State, so the rare back-to-back road non-conference games.
Against group of five teams. That's
right.
Extraordinarily rare.
Roy Williams somewhere going, that schedule makes sense to me. And then September 17th, you figure that'll probably be an ACC game, probably at Miami or something. And then September 24th against Notre Dame, and then nothing but league games the rest of the way.
That's at home, I assume, the Notre Dame game?
Yes. So you don't get...
Well, I mean, it's worth remembering Carolina was not supposed to play Notre Dame last year. It got scheduled because of the weird COVID year.
Right. So you don't get next year that non-conference game at the end of the year, as has been the way the Tar Heels have done it the last few years.
And I hesitate to say this when I'm not 100% sure. I think Mac Brown doesn't want the game right before at the end of the year, a non-conference game. And again, I kind of hesitate if I haven't confirmed that with him, but I believe I've heard him say that before, that that's not his preference. So
he's outside the window nodding.
Yeah, boom, boom, boom. Jones, you get that right. Adam, anything else? I mean, and Mac Brown said this, and he's right. You know, there were some good things that happened. You lose them because you lose the good things because it's not, the big picture isn't where you want it right now. You know, Josh Downs continues to play well. Georgia Tech was very aware of Josh Downs, as we understood teams were going to become of him. Carolina now needs to figure out more and more ways to get him the ball. It's clear he's the best option. For Sam Howe to give the ball to someone else, he's option number one. Kamari Morales had a great game. Carolina's tight ends in total did. Mac Brown said he thought Garrett Walston played one of his best games and is playing his best football as well. So, I mean, you have some veteran good players at that tight end position who are giving you some good stuff. Carolina blocked another punt, and, you know, you felt like a big play early in the game that maybe could give Carolina some positive momentum. So that's good to continue to see that going well. So there were good things, but just not enough.
Yeah. Josh Downs actually got to return a punt, 11 yards. it looks like there's a big play in there in punt return somewhere, just the way he confidently returns them.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's scary when he's back there because that is by far your best offensive option other than your quarterback.
So, all in all, not the night the Tar Heels wanted. Still some issues that the Heels have to get fixed. And yet, a long way to go. Carolina still has 8 games left to play, including 3 straight at home before you get a week off and then play Notre Dame after that up in South Bend. So, a lot of football still to go. But Tar Heels frustrated, no doubt.
Unfortunately, we said back in July and August, you're going to know a lot about this team as you get into October, and we do. We know there are some things to fix.
Okay, Adam, anything else before we get to our interview with Corey Holiday?
No.
Okay. Corey, terrific wide receiver, big part of Mac Brown 1.0. I mean, he was a part of that group of players that believed enough when Carolina was not very good, but believed enough in Mac Brown and the staff to get things turned, to commit, to come be a part of getting things turned around. And Corey's been committed to Carolina ever since. Got a really cool personal story as well, which I think you'll enjoy. So just a lot of interesting stuff. So let's get to that conversation. We'll come back. Adam has a list, some other stuff as well here on the Carolina Insider.
Our guest today, I feel like, has achieved one of every parent's dreams. He is one of the best wide receivers in Carolina football history. He's an NFL wide receiver. He's been with the Tar Heel football program for, I don't want to think about how many years because I'd be depressed. But he's really, at this point, Christopher and Nicholas's dad.
Yeah.
So congratulations on all you did. But now that's really secondary because it seems like other things are going well. So, Corey Holiday, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So, first of all, kind of explain to people what you do with the football program right now.
I'm an associate athletic director for the football administration. Basically, I try to take care of everything off the field for Coach Brown. I have a great staff I work with, as far as people in recruiting, people in operations, medical staff, equipment staff, video staff. And I try to put all those parts together to make sure that we have everything we need off the field. And Coach Brown has everything he needs to win football games on Saturday.
Corey, as Adam kind of alluded to, you know, and obviously you went off and had a professional career, but Carolina's kind of been your life since you came here and played here. I mean, did you realize that this was, you know, you were truly the 40-year, not 4-year decision that Mac Brown talks about? Did you realize that this was going to be such a large part of your being when you did arrive here in Chapel Hill?
No, I did not. I arrived in Chapel Hill. I just wanted a chance to get on football and play some big-time football and get a good degree, a great education, and also get a good job. I mean,
yeah.
I really didn't even think about the NFL when I first arrived at UNC, being recruited by Coach Brown the first time. I had internships at Procter & Gamble and thought I was going to be wearing a suit for the rest of my life from how those summer internships went.
So what changed? Why has it become such a big part of who you are?
Well, those summer internships working at Procter & Gamble made me realize that I didn't have a passion to make sure that Tide was on the top shelf and, you know, Duncan Hines was on the prime level shelf. So I think that was the biggest thing right there that made me think of doing something different. I ended up having the chance to go to grad school here, sports administration program, because I was injured my first year. So I had a fifth year. So I entered the graduate program here. And studying sports administration and being around some of the administrators we had here at UNC at the time really opened my eyes to a whole different level of what's behind athletics, not just what's on the field. So that I had a passion then.
So I mean, what are some of those things? Because I think people don't know. I mean, obviously the casual fan kind of sees what happens on the court or on the field, and that's what they think about. But there is so much more. What are some other things that happen that people just wouldn't know?
The thing that I noticed that really attracted me is the people who take care of the student athletes. I started out my first position here at UNC was student athlete development, and that's taking care of making sure everything happens and is taken care of for the student athlete off the field, from housing to some of the compliance issues, some of the academic liaison, some of the things going on with financial aid, just being the go-to person there and helping them with career development and helping them think about what they want to do after they finish their college career. And I had a great experience here, and when I came back here, I wanted to do student athlete development to help young men have the same great opportunity and set a good foundation for when they leave. Other things behind the scenes of operations. I mean, it takes a lot of people to put on the game days and stuff that way. And once you start seeing the work that goes in there and the people and the camaraderie and teamwork that goes on behind the scenes, it makes you realize that, you know, it's a game going on, but it's a lot of teamwork and hard work going on behind the scenes to make that game happen.
What similarities and differences do you see in the Mac Brown who sat on your couch and recruited you and the Mac Brown you sit in the staff room with every day?
Similarities is he still has a passion for recruiting, and he still has a passion to be a great coach and want to make sure that each student athlete who steps on this campus has a great college experience. So those are some of the similarities. Some of the differences is back then I was a student athlete, so he always wanted the best for me as a student athlete. But now that I'm an administrator, he's on my butt pretty hard to make sure the student athletes still have a great experience. So I get a little different angle of some of his frustration now.
Well, and I think some people who only see the TV Mac Brown don't realize that he does push players and push coaches hard, but he also has incredible continuity on his staff. So how does he manage to push guys while also drawing them in?
I mean, he talks about it, and he doesn't have a ton of rules for the players or for the staff. I mean, the things we talk about all the time are we want to have fun, we want to win, and we want to do things the right way. And he really stresses that to the players and to his staff. I mean, he wants to make sure that we don't break any rules as a staff, that we work as a team, that we have open communication, and we are very direct. And I think when you do those kind of things, it makes it a lot easier to handle criticism or handle – you know, being corrected. And you also just want the best for the student athlete, because at the end of the day, everybody working in Keene Football Center wants the best for the student athlete as far as their experience here on Carolina's campus.
Corey, we've asked some different people who've seen it from different angles about Mac Brown and the success that he's been able to have this second time around. How is this working? Because it doesn't always work this way. I mean, there are plenty of stories of guys who have gone back to previous jobs or, you know, tried to get back in later in their careers and it doesn't work anymore. Why does it still work for him and work at such a high level?
I mean, I think Coach Brown's special. When he first came through here, I think he had a great experience and he did a great job here. And now that he's back, he's learned so much more from being at Texas and being out for 5 years looking at other programs. He had a chance to see what works and what doesn't work at other places. And now that he's back at Carolina, he knows what kind of student athlete can be successful and can succeed here. And those are the only kind of student athletes he want to recruit. He talks about all the time, I only want to recruit student athletes that I like. You know, if I don't like them as a person, I don't care how good of a player they are. So, I mean, that's one of the things that I think is a staple for our whole staff is that we recruit people who can be successful here as student athletes at the University of North Carolina, not just good football players. So I think that's one of the big things. Then the next thing is, like I said, he's been a lot of other places and seen what people do that don't work, and he's brought those things that do work back here and put together a good staff, and we all are trying to put that in place every day.
What's something that a 2021 Tar Heel takes for granted that, of course, this is something that the football program will help me with or facilitate for me that Corey Holiday, the player, knows would have never even been thought of when he was out there catching all those passes?
Oh, man. Nutrition. I mean, the things they have now and the things that – how much time and energy and resource and money that we put into nutrition, just taking care of the student athlete to make sure they have what they need nutritionally to not just grow and be bigger or lose weight, but to also make sure they don't cramp and dehydrate on the field and just help them become the best, perform the best they can on Saturdays is something that we didn't have when I was playing here. We just had a training table and we had Jerry Greenwood, you know, giving us fried chicken almost every day.
I was gonna
say that's still the plan Adam's on, actually.
Yeah, that's right. Jerry's doing a great job. What was 1990 era nutrition like?
Lunch was hot dogs, hamburgers, and French fries, and like I said, every now and then you get some fried chicken. And the funniest thing was I never had steak and lobster. I never had lobster until I got to UNC. And my first year, we won our first game, so we had steak and lobster dinner. I'm like, this is great. I'm loving UNC. Steak and lobster after victories. We didn't win another game. So it was a lot of frozen lobster that never got served that year. But, you know, so back then it was, we also, the other part that the student athletes miss now, though, that we had back then was the camaraderie of having meals and eating lunch and dinner with other student athletes. I mean, I still recall sitting at the table having lunch with Marion Jones or Mia Hamm, George Lynch, Eric Montrose. I mean, we all ate together in the training table. So that was pretty neat to, you know, talk and see what's going on with other student athletes in their season and how they train. I mean, that's something that I think our student athletes missed out on now.
Did you have any sense at that time that I'm sitting here with some of the very best in the world at the things that they do?
No, at that time, I mean, obviously we all were trying to be the best we could be at here at UNC. But now when I tell my kids about, you know, knowing Mia Hamm and knowing Marion Jones, some of these people who've gone on to do great things, they don't really believe me. Like, you don't really know Mia Hamm. But, you know, so it's pretty neat that way, especially with my son being into soccer and knowing Mia Hamm and what she did that way. I mean, it's pretty neat to show that I had a connection to Mia back then as a student athlete here at UNC.
All right, take us back to late 80s, early 90s time period. Corey Holliday's trying to figure out what he wants to do in life or the next step. Why was Carolina the choice at that point in time?
That's a great question. I really wanted a balance. I really wanted to make sure I went somewhere where I got a great education. I wanted to play big-time football, but I also wanted to make sure I developed and grew as a young man. I'm from the city of Richmond. A lot of things I hadn't experienced being from the city of Richmond. So when I got to campus here, it was different. It was something where I felt I could express myself, grow. And some of the places that was recruiting me, I mean, I saw a lot of other people who looked like me on campus at that time. And that was important to me. I wanted to go somewhere where I didn't feel like I was just going to be a football player. So it was important to me that I saw other black student athletes, you know, other black students on campus, not just student athletes. So I really felt good socially here. Obviously, the education is great here. And then you had Coach Brown recruiting me. And I think once he walked in the kitchen on my recruiting visit and started cooking with my mom, it was over. I didn't have a choice where I was going to go.
That locked it up was the kitchen.
We had Bucky Brooks on here a couple weeks ago, and we gave him the opportunity to tell us some dirt on Corey Holliday from his playing days, to which he essentially said there was absolutely none.
He basically said you were the most perfect human being that he had ever met. So you got that going for you.
So since he was so nice, we want to give you the opportunity to be mean. Tell us some dirt on Bucky Brooks from his playing days.
Oh, man. Bucky was being very generous if he said I didn't have anything going on. I learned a lot from my 5 years at UNC. But Bucky's great. I mean, I think we worked great as a tandem far as his speed on the outside and some of the things I did far as catching the ball around the middle and doing some of those different things that way. But I think the biggest dirt I have on Bucky was, and I'm kind of jealous of it now, because back then video games had just started coming out. The Tecmo Bowl and some of those video games were just coming out and getting started. And Bucky redshirted, I think, his junior year. He played two and then redshirted. And basically that whole year, he redshirted and played video games. And I'm like, man, I'm like, he's wasting his time. I mean, you know, we are not on the field competing, not doing this. And then next thing you know, I mean, you know, he comes back and plays well. He's drafted. I wasn't drafted. And now he's working, basically talking about sports. And I bet you it's because all the video games he played in college. So, I mean, he turned playing video games into a career.
Bucky Brooks has it figured out, Adam. We need to get him back on, see if we can get some life advice in addition to all the football talk. And this is not something I think people will probably understand unless they have been around Carolina. I think of you and Rick Steinbacher as like Corey and Rick. And it's always like, hey, somebody has a question. Either ask Corey or Rick. One of them are going to know the answer. What is y'all's relationship, of course, teammates at Carolina and then professionally as well?
I mean, that's one of the great things about being at UNC. I mean, it's a great job, but it's also having the chance to work with great people. And then Rick Steinbacher is, you know, one of my best friends. We're captains together. We came in here and believing in Coach Brown and believing in this program, we could turn it around. And we went from 1-10 to 10-2 our senior year together as captains. And I worked at Procter & Gamble, and when I decided I did not want to take a full-time job there, I made sure they interviewed Rick for an internship, and Rick ended up working at Procter & Gamble. So, I mean, we have a relationship that goes way back before we even start working here again. And because one of the reasons I came back to work at UNC, Rick, I was living in Columbus at the time, and I talked to Rick and he said, you got to come back. Because the year before I had turned it down and wasn't ready to come back. Me and my wife were in Columbus and I was, just married for 3 years. But when he called the second time and said, hey, we got a new thing going with Coach Bunning being hired, you can come back and this is going to be something great. The relationship and the trust I had in him, it really worked out well. And being able to work with somebody like that for 20 years now really means a lot.
For better or worse, you've worked for a few different head coaches. And that's not always the case. A lot of times when a new guy comes in, he wants all his guys. Why do you think you've enabled this role you play to be something that each new guy who's come in has realized, oh, Corey's someone I need. I need him.
I think it's just the connection to the university. I don't look at myself as Corey Holiday, the former football player, or anything that way. I look at myself as Corey Holiday, associate AD, trying to make this football program better. And that's every day when I wake up, that's my goal, to do something to make myself valuable to this football program and to this university. And I want to make sure the student athletes who come through this program understand how important this university is and not just playing football here is.
Everybody has been in the backyard and caught a ball or shot a basket or something and did the play-by-play of it in their head. And, oh, like, Adam Lucas is the greatest of all time as Adam, like, bricks another layup, right? So you got an all-time radio call from Woody Durham on one of your very first plays where it's, a star is born in Chapel Hill. Like, how awesome is that? And how often do you replay said radio call, at least in your head, every now and then? And you can be honest.
It's his phone ring.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was wondering where I just heard it from. Why did I think to ask that question?
Oh, no, it's great. I didn't know about it for a while. I mean, I forgot about it when I left. And then when I came back to UNC, somebody played it for me. And believe me, I definitely play at least once a year now. it's great. And obviously when Woody passed, it really touched me. And I played it for quite a bit because not just – for my sake, but just knowing how great Woody was at his job, and
sure.
I just wanted to hear his voice.
Back at the Carolina 43, first and 20. Burnett with B.J. Runyon and Blunt behind him on a play-action fake, wants to throw, got Corey Holiday, 35, what a move, 30, cuts back, 25, 20, he'll go, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, and a star is born in Chapel Hill.
When you walk in and see Angela, you're not like, honey, I'm home. A star is born.
Well, the bad thing right now is I'm not the star anymore.
Yeah, that's right. That's for sure.
Yeah, you're the low.
Yeah.
Well, that takes us to a great question. So both your family is so successful. How do you do this? How are all your kids so perfect?
He married well. That's the
answer. That's exactly right.
Well, like they say, if you can't be a doctor, marry one. So I took that advice first, and then me and Angela have been very blessed and fortunate to have two great kids. And just from how we were brought up, we try to bring our kids up the same way to make sure that they are – fundamentally sound and what's important in life. And they realize that education is important, friendships are important, family and faith are important. So we try to raise them off those things. And it's just really been fortunate and a lot of good breaks for both of them that things have worked out well for them. But I'm definitely not the star in the house anymore. It's both of those kids are definitely the stars.
Okay, so if you don't know, so Christopher is on the football team. He had the perfect, was it SAT or ACT?
ACT score.
The perfect ACT score, which is crazy to even think about.
Struggled on the SAT, I bet.
Yeah, that's right. And then now explain a little bit what's going on with Nicholas. Because actually Adam and I mentioned this when we saw the news. We mentioned this on a podcast the last week or so. Tell us what's going on with Nicholas.
Well, Nicholas is 15 years old, and he's always loved soccer. Well, actually, he didn't always love soccer. When he was 4 years old, Christopher was 8, and we had both of them playing soccer because you got two kids, you want them to play the same sport.
Sure.
Christopher always loves all sports. Nicholas was a little different. We had to bribe him to play soccer by giving him snacks. Every time he scored, he wanted a snack. I'm like, you have to wait till after the game, Nicholas. But from there, he just gravitated to soccer and really liked it. And the other funny thing about him is that he became a goalkeeper because he didn't like to run a lot.
Look, he's got his priorities straight.
So he became a goalkeeper around 9, 10 years old because he didn't want to run around the field a lot. So, and now He's 15, and he just signed a pro contract with NCFC, and actually he's getting his first start at home this weekend, so it's going to be pretty exciting.
So, and excuse me for just being ignorant, like, what does that mean? So, I mean, like, how do you sign a pro contract at 15? Like, how does all that work out?
12 months ago, I would say I have no clue. I've learned a lot in the last 12 months. 12 months ago, my eyes were open to how good he could be. We had multiple MLS Academy programs from across the country calling, asking them to move to Kansas City, Philadelphia, Charlotte to be part of their Academy programs. But he still was playing Academy here in with NCFC. And he just continued to develop and grow. And really, we started looking into how good he could be. We started hearing from people how good he could be. And then NCFC made a financial commitment in how good he could be by making them put him on their first team, their pro team here, and give him some time and some opportunity to play in some games. And on Father's Day, he got his first pro start and did well, I guess. And then the agents and everybody else started calling after that. So, you know, we really thought what has happened here as far as him being able to stay home at NCFC and the coaching and the opportunities he had here would be best for him to stay here. And, you know, and if he's going to play in the pro games, he might as well get paid to play in pro games. He already told us he didn't want to go to college. So he wanted to play, become a pro soccer player and move overseas. So that's the plan he's on right now. We'll see how it goes.
Do you think that everything they've achieved is due to their Chapel Hill Parks and Rec coaches and a variety of sports?
It takes a village, Adam. It takes a village.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say that I created this, but I feel like I probably had a lot to do with it.
He was on the team with you. Yeah, you're coaching.
Corey's like, he was on the team. That is correct. You did nothing, just to be clear.
No, you did a lot. I mean, you're the first coach he had that brought diagrams for them to run plays at youth basketball.
There you go. They were five. It was time to run the shuffle.
Get the secondary break going, guys. Let's go.
He's been very serious. This is honest.
Okay, so when Christopher gets his ACT score back, you got it back online, right? Like he looked it up on the computer. They don't send it in the mail anymore.
Yes.
Were you there when that happened?
No, I was not there. I was traveling at the time when it happened, and he called and told me he's done. And I asked him, like, done with what? He like with everything. He like, I'm just ready to go to college now. So, you know, and this was, you know, obviously going into the senior year. So, I mean, this happened as a junior. So, you know, it was pretty funny when he called and said that. But he was really excited about it.
Dad instinct is to try to give him a couple things to work on. Or like, oh, well, I mean, you're not, you know, nobody's perfect, buddy. It's okay. What do you say as a dad when there is nothing to work on?
That's the thing with him. I probably have never said anything academically to him ever about working on school. He updates me on what's going on in school. He's more like his mom with that. I mean, right now we just got finished. You know, he went over like 2 weeks trying to decide what classes to take and not to take, and he's already maxing out at 16 hours. I'm like, what's the question? You know what I mean? So, I mean, he's a little bit, he's always been a high achiever and want to learn. I mean, it's exciting to him to learn. So, I really didn't have to talk to him much about, like I said, he has always been a book reader, wanting to learn and want to do those kind of things. So it's been exciting to be his dad. Nicholas is a little different, but I mean, he wants to keep up with his brother, so he's not too much farther behind.
Were you surprised you can take 16 hours as a player? Were you like, oh, well, you can take 16 hours? I was taking 8 and thought I had plenty.
So what's that balance like of working with football, administrator with football, yet you have a son on the football team? How do you guys work out that relationship?
It's interesting right now because right now he thinks he wants to work in sports administration.
Oh, wow.
So, he always saw me come home. He used to always ask different questions about operations, about travel, how we do some things that way. But now that he's actually in the program, seeing what we do on a daily basis and a part of it, he comes up and has conversations about different things. And, you know, he wanted to know about our experience at the hotel this weekend that wasn't the best. So he wanted to talk about why, what could we have done differently. So, I mean, it's a learning process for him. He's actually learning about sports administration, you know, actually seeing it now, just not just hearing it from me coming home. So, I mean, that's pretty neat to actually talk to your son about it. I keep telling him he should be a doctor, but
that's if you're going to take one of the parents to professions. Now, Harvey Gantt's your father-in-law, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if if you are a North Carolinian, you probably recognize the name. If you're not, you might not. He was in one of the most famous races in Senate history with Jesse Helms. What is that experience like when you got to know him, and what is that like?
What a great question I just asked. But I do think it's interesting.
Well, what helped me a little bit there is he happened to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
There you go.
And when I started dating Angela, first time I started coming home a little bit, and I was playing for the Steelers, so that helped make things a little easier.
Yeah, that's right. You got something to talk about.
Yeah, that helped make things a little easier. But him being a Clemson Tiger, that didn't help very much.
I can understand that.
So, but it's been great. I mean, like I said, he set a great foundation for Angela and some of the things that she teaches our boys every day. And he has such a passion for doing things the right way, and also has a passion for sports like no other. So, I mean, I think both of those have rubbed off on our kids. They have grandkids weekend, and he quizzes all of them on sports and life and things like that for the week. And, I mean, when you get that kind of experience to spend with your grandparents and it's, you know, that wholesome, I think you have to come out a better person.
So you mentioned the Steelers. You're part of one of the most historic franchises in the NFL, played in the Super Bowl with the Steelers. Tell us about that experience.
Oh, it's great. Super Bowl 30. It's one of those experiences now that Coach Brown talks about all the time. If you outrush the other team, you probably won't win the game. And I turned around to him one day. I'm like, we did that with the Steelers, and we still lost, Coach, in Super Bowl 30. But we also turned the ball over 3 times, and that is the problem there. But I grew up being a Steelers fan. I grew up loving Lynn Swann, John Stallworth, and to have the opportunity to play for him is a dream come true.
You talked about how different Christopher and Nicholas are. I think one of the hardest things as a parent is figuring out that your kids are different. Like, you think of them as like they're the same, they're the kids. How have y'all been able to manage two clearly such different personalities and goals in life while also clearly doing a good job?
I mean, like you said, we have to let them be their own individual person, but also have to have the standards and foundation set that's going to help them be successful in life. And I think that's what we talk to them a lot about. Christopher will read 4 books without saying a word. We might have to nudge Nicholas a little bit and say, hey, you got an hour, so use it the right way. And then he'll say, okay, I'm going to play soccer for a little bit. And we're like, that might not be the right way, Nicholas.
I'm going to go defend some PKs, Dad. I'll be back.
But, you know, and then they start competing with each other. So, I mean, as they got older, they start just competing and working off each other. I think they're probably best friends. I can't count on one hand growing up before Christopher left for college that he spent more than a day away from his brother besides for camp maybe. So they didn't have a lot of sleepovers. They'll go to a friend's house and say, hey, pick me up at 10 because I don't want Nicholas or I don't want Christopher sleeping alone. So they grew up like being best friends, and they really worked well with each other. So me and Angela really didn't have to do a ton of treating like individuals. They grew up together and they treated each other like individuals, but yet still both of them had something in them where they wanted to be successful at whatever they decided to do.
Have you seen the Carolina football program any differently as now that you're a parent?
Yeah. I mean, I think the funny thing is my wife has seen it a little differently. I see it differently. Coach Brown talks all the time about making sure a student athlete has a good experience. So that's always been my goal. But now that my wife is seeing some of the things that's going on, it's surprising to her. She's like, another pair of shoes, Christopher? You know, so I mean, she never paid attention to some of those kind of things as far as the shoes and just the support they get as far as academics and some of those things. So now that she's seeing Christopher go through it, she realizes that, you know, it's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that she just never paid attention to as far as, you know, just me working at football.
Tell us a bit about this team. So as we talk to Corey, Carolina's only played the one game so far. It was against Virginia Tech. By the time you hear this, the Tar Heels will have played more. But tell us a bit about this team, kind of the growth of where it is right now, what some of the discussions are about where this team can go and what needs to improve.
The thing about this team is really neat is just how close they are. I mean, how they like each other as a team, how much fun they have at practice. I mean, that's one of the biggest differences that I've seen since Coach Brown been back from this team versus, you said, what's different from the 90s. I mean, we liked each other and we practiced, But these guys like to practice. They go out there and they hum around. They're bopping around. We didn't have music back in the 90s playing all the time either.
They hadn't invented music yet. They're still working on it. Beethoven's still banging on the keys.
Exactly. Maybe we had music, it would have been different. But they just like to practice. There's a lot of energy out there. I think some of the things that we're still working on is, we got a lot of young skilled players that haven't played a lot. You know, we have Sam, but we need to get some experience around some of these other skilled players to bring them up to speed. And we still, are trying to work on the leadership. We lost a lot of leadership with Michael Carter leaving last year, so we need to get some leadership going on offense there. And then the defense is just still developing and growing under Coach Bateman. I mean, you can see their progress from each year, and I think this year they'll be able to put it all together. You'll be able to see how the schemes and how the personnel has really come together to be able to perform the way he wants them to perform on defense.
This might be hard to do in like a one Q&A, but can you describe what Carolina has meant to you or the place that it holds for you?
I think you talk about family, faith, and then I put Carolina as the foundation. My mom raised me about believing in family and faith, and then UNC gave me the foundation as far as a lot of other things, as far as learning how to be social, learning academically how to learn, how to express myself, and just provide a great foundation for me to do whatever I wanted to do from here.
Good stuff from Corey Holiday. Appreciate his time. Hope you enjoyed it. And it's brought to you by the Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina. Texting while driving takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. And at highway speeds, that's like driving the length of a football field with your eyes closed. Trusted choice, Independent Insurance Agents of North Carolina want you to stay safe behind the wheel. Put down your phone while driving. Let's have a hands-free NC. To learn more and find an agent near you, TrustedChoice.com/GoHeels. Adam, my first experience in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I got to say, it was a nice stadium. It was a nice stadium.
For $1.5 billion or whatever, you should get something nice. It's very cool when the roof opens that way.
Yeah. It spins and you're just like, oh, look at that, everybody.
Geometry.
Couple things. I had forgotten. Not forgotten. I had blissfully chosen not to remember. When you're on the road and you lose and people have been consuming alcohol, that there is the potential for people to get all in your face. And I didn't have anybody get in my face, although that has happened before. Shockingly, a lot less often when Brian's right there with me. But we were in...
Gee, college, you want some of this?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Brian Simmons. Never mind, sir!
And this does have... I have a point on all this, Adam. So we're in the elevator leaving, and this Georgia Tech dude stumbles onto the elevator and was just like, hey, great, great game, good game, great game. In an obviously very sarcastic way. Which, whatever. Like, I was like, oh, you guys played great, because I kill him with kindness, Adam. That's the best way to do it. But he had a Tar Heel fan with him who was like, that's just old Jimmy here. Don't pay any mind to him. And then he's like, oh, Jimmy, you know how many times I've seen this guy right here doing that video pod? And I was like, yeah, thank you, sir. I never caught his name, but if you're a pod listener, what up?
What up, that guy who hangs out with the slightly obnoxious Georgia Tech guy?
That's all right. We all have friends like that.
Yeah, that's right. And that guy brought him to the game.
Yeah.
That's what's important.
So, Mercedes-Benz Stadium's enormous. Now, but with it being a pro stadium, I have to say, great job. We had a direct connection in the Tar Heel locker room so I could get the post game with Mac Brown. And it really, while we were not necessarily close to the locker room, all I had to do was get an elevator, go down like two turns, and I'm right there. It was really easy, which was appreciated and awesome and stuff you can think about when you're building your own stadium, right?
And as you often do.
Right, yeah. Not quite the same at old Bobby Dodd Stadium at Grant Field, which was, built in 1700, where I literally have to jump off the stands, risk tearing all my CLs in my leg to get the post-game interview. That's neither here nor there. So here's the problem, though, Adam. So I, before the game, when I go somewhere I've never been before, if it's been a while, I always walk. I walk the route so that I know where I'm going after the game. So I'd walked the route, but just the way the elevator was configured, I go down. This is so I'm like right after the game, everything's bad. So I'm trying to get to the locker room because I obviously don't want Coach Brown to like be ready to talk and me not be there because that would be bad also. So I come out of the elevators and I was like, oh no, I think I got on the wrong elevator. Mm. Because, and I had forgotten this when I walked it earlier, like you went into this little fancy lobby to get on the elevators instead of just kind of the garagey type of look that backstage at stadiums and arenas. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
And so I get out of the elevator and I'm in this fancy lobby and I was like, oh no. So I was like, Jones, I guess turn right. So I went that, and Adam, it was not the right way to turn. Let me just go and give you a spoiler alert. So I'm just like, I wish I had worn one of those whoop things at that point in time to see what my heart rate was. Because I was like, oh my God, I'm walking in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I don't know if I'm going the right way. Coach Brown's going to be furious that the Tar Heels didn't play well. I'm just trying to get this post-game interview. So I'm like walking. And I find a little security guy, and I was like, excuse me, sir, visitor's locker room? And he was like, oh, you're heading the wrong way, buddy. It's down. I was like, okay. So I turned around quick. Okay, got back. And Adam, good news. I got there in time. I slid into the locker room. As you can imagine, you understand what the feeling was in there after that game. You could hear a pin drop. Coach Brown was still addressing the team. I'm slightly surprised that, like, somehow I didn't comically knock over a table of drinks or have the door, like, get a gust of wind and slam really hard so that everybody would whip their head to me and I'd be like, hey, guys, tough one there. But, you know, fortunately, it all worked out in the end. But just a little behind the scenes, Adam, it's not as always. I know it probably sounded smooth as butter on the air, but it doesn't always work that way.
Coach Brown, why'd you have so much trouble defending Paul Johnson's offense? Well, I think people underestimate how much every stadium looks the exact same when you're on the backside of it or the underside.
Yeah.
The only thing I can compare it to is when you go to hotels relatively frequently, and have you ever had that moment where you get off the elevator and you know you're on your floor, but you honestly can't remember, do you go right or left? And sometimes the elevators are facing each other, so you're like, well, I go right. Oh, well, that was when I came out of the other elevator. It's kind of like that. Like, you know, you've probably been there before, but it all, especially now, because now they're starting to make all the backstage area look very similar. So there's not identifying marks or something. Like at Bobby Dodd Stadium, you just look for the platform diving board that you jump off.
Yeah.
They don't have that here. So it can get very tricky when you're doing a lot of those.
There is no more, just know this, there is no more stressful time in my life than that time period on the road trying to get to the post-game interview to make sure it happens. That is the most stressful 5 minutes of my life every single week. And even at home this past week, we had a piece of equipment that didn't work right. And so we had to go to the backup and get the phone and get Coach Brown on the phone, which he was great and flexible and doing it. Sounded fine. But there is nothing more stressful than getting that post-game interview. I'm just going to let you know that.
Those moments are like the most uncertain moments, win or lose. Like, you could have just won a fantastic game to go to the Orange Bowl, but like, what if this doesn't work?
Yeah. And it might. Sometimes it doesn't. Like last year, we had to do our pregame interviews with Coach Williams on Zoom on the road. I can't even tell you how much better I felt like the Tar Heels had already won the game after we had already done the interview on Zoom. I was like, "Woo, okay, boys, hardest part of the night's over. We got our 7 minutes with Coach Williams." Man. But, as I said, I'm sure it sounded perfectly fine on the air.
That'll be different this year when Hubert Davis comes over to courtside to do all his pregame and postgame interviews because he just wants to be a part of it.
That's exactly what I feel like is going to happen. Champions of the Gridiron. highlight MVPs of the previous game, brought to you by UNC Health, dedicated to caring for champions of all kinds and to help keep you in the game and at your very best. You can see their lineup at unchealthcare.org/sports, unchealthcare.org/sports. I will say, I think Carolina's special teams getting better. We talked about that. Jeremiah Gimmel, I thought, had a good game. He really flew around, made a bunch of tackles. I thought played well at that linebacker spot. Cedric Gray continues to play well, I think, at that other linebacker spot. It feels like he's grabbing control of that position right now as the guy who would get more reps at that spot next to Jeremiah Gimmel at the moment. Mack Brown highlighted Tony Grimes and Kyler McMichael. Of course, McMichael had the one touchdown, but he really was right there and just couldn't knock it away. And which, by the way, another terrific moment on Saturday where I could not see the number of the dude who caught the ball. I couldn't see it. That's how well Kyler McMichael had Malachi Carter covered. I couldn't see it. And then all his teammates got to him before he stood up, and I couldn't see his number. Everything was clicking on all cylinders, what I'm saying, Adam.
Luckily, Brian Simmons was right there to say that he could see it because, you, as you would expect, perfect 2010 vision.
Yeah. So, again, there are a couple good things, a couple guys who had good games.
We got to give a what up to the international man of mystery, Caden Baker, putting on a number 92 jersey to go catch a two-point conversion. Jones, how'd that go on the broadcast?
I knew it wasn't Cole Maynard who caught the pass, Adam.
I felt like if it had been, Jonathan Kim would have told us last week when we were talking about the specialist's secret powers. He would have been like, watch out for Cole Maynard. We got a really cool two-point play.
All right. Hold on, Adam. Let me get a roster real fast. All right. We're going to see here on this official Tar Heel roster, these are the official numbers. Caden Baker listed at 6'5", 305. Cole Maynard, 6'2", 165. Which, by the way, good job staying slim, Cole. Pretty good. So, Adam, I was confident that it was not Cole Maynard. However, when you have a jersey that has no name on the back, on a surprise play, on a number that is clearly not this person who is designated as this number, a little hard to tell you who it was. So I'm sure that will be a highlight that is going to be saved forever. Where it's like, oh, wide open, and Carolina converts the two. It's, well, someone wearing number 92 who caught the pass.
He's got good hands, Brian, I'll tell you that. What up, Caden Baker?
Look, Adam, it's just, you got to forget it and move on. We're on to Duke.
Yeah, that's right. Victory bell.
Adam, how about your list?
What's on the top of Adam's list? Brought to you by Top of the Hill, where Tar Heels come to celebrate.
Let's think positive with the list. Good LA Times story. I often start each morning with the LA Times and a cup of Joe.
Honey, please bring me the Post, the Times.
This is the New York Times. What is this? But a good story on Wayne Ellington's new tenure with the Lakers. I didn't realize Wayne Ellington very into real estate investments. Wayne Ellington is a nice guy, solid individual. I like him. He's been on the pod.
Yeah, yes.
I'm Wayne Ellington. See you later, Big Grits.
And just an all-around good guy in the story talked about how excited the Lakers were to have him back.
I know we say this all the time. Is there someone who is as genuinely, like, seems like, hey, great to see you guys, as Wayne Ellington?
Well, Wayne Ellington and Danny Green from the same team.
Yeah.
Who are still both in the NBA. Guys, we're getting close to 15 years they've been in the NBA. And having great careers and still the exact same people.
Yeah.
And both love the Tar Heels the same way today that they did when they were here. Jones, are you familiar with your boy Josh on Instagram?
His name is your boy Josh?
Yeah, I think it might be your boy Josh 55.
Oh, I know your boy Josh 59, but not your boy Josh 55.
No, you'll have to explain.
I bet your kids know your boy Josh. I don't know if he's a mastermind or if it's genuine. And I don't really know which I hope it is. I hope it's genuine. It's just this kid. I think maybe from Alabama or somewhere. And he's like what you would think of like an 11, 12-year-old Alabama kid. Your boy Josh.
Yeah.
He's like, what's up, guys? It's your boy Josh. And then he'll be like, I'm out here. And I'm just hanging out with my friends. And he's got this thing he does at the end where he like takes his hand and he puts it up in the air like he's going to give a high five. He goes, peace. And then he covers up the camera and goes, out. I don't know why. It's so hilarious. The first couple, I was like, I'm not sure I get this. But the more you watch and the more it seems like it's really him, the better it gets. He was somewhere this weekend, I think like Mobile, Alabama or something. And he was just going around, and people were coming getting autographs from your boy Josh. What's up, guys? He always sounds like he's out of breath.
He's been lost in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
He's looking for the visiting team locker room. Has anybody seen him? He's got this big gold chain. He's all iced out, but like in a wholesome way. Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, your boy Josh.
There's a couple things about this that I enjoy. Number one, that you legitimately asked me if I knew who that was, as if I was going to be like, oh, yes, of course, Adam. You know, between the third and fourth quarters on Saturday, I checked out some of your boy Josh's videos.
You would have liked that better.
Yeah. Number two, this is one of the phenomenons of the internet and social media. Like, do you have someone who maybe you follow who you feel like you know really well, even though you've never met them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Jones Angel with two L's.
Yeah, that's right. Two L's at the end. I think that's true, though. Like, I know there's one or two people, and most stuff that I follow is going to be work-related, although there's, you know, like golf, or, you know, stuff that I enjoy that I follow as well, but there's definitely some people on there who I don't know, I've never met in person, but I feel like I know them, and I feel like I know them pretty well. It's just one of the weird things about social media.
Peace. Out. What's up, guys? It's your boy, Josh. He's just funny. It's just a gift.
And that's it for the list.
That's the list. Several people on top of this video that made its way around social media of the ref eating Skittles during the game.
We did get that a lot. Why would that happen?
I don't know, but he definitely did. I wondered if maybe it was a blood sugar thing.
Ooh, that is a possibility.
But the video, which again was sent to us by several people, the officials are, I guess, maybe huddling to discuss a call. And then here comes this one official who's just got some Skittles, got the bag of Skittles, going to eat some Skittles.
Adam, I don't know the answer. I think you cracked the code. I bet that's what it is. I mean, it makes sense. It makes a lot more sense than a ref just randomly having a bag of Skittles out on the field.
Which makes more sense? I'm going to take my snack out on the field. I can't wait till halftime, or maybe some sort of scientific reason.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. If you feel like if you are someone who has problems with diabetes, then you would know this. And I do not have diabetes, but that if you feel like you're getting the low blood sugars, pop a little couple of Skittles right there and help you out. That makes sense, Adam. Adam. Good job, Encyclopedia Brown. That's a good one.
Peace out. Good friend of the pod, Courtney Pagano, sent us a very informative DM. Now, I can't tell you what account this came from because it has a bad word in it.
Oh my.
But let's overlook that.
Well, I know that's right up your alley, though.
Yeah, that's right. That's everything. You know, you talked about people you follow, pretty much all of them. Robert G. Reeve says he's back from a week at my mom's house, and now I'm getting ads for her toothpaste brand, the brand I've been putting in my mouth for a week. We never talked about this brand or Googled it or anything like that. As a privacy tech worker, let me explain why this is happening. Now, this is a callback to early pod days. First of all, your social media apps are not listening to you. This is a conspiracy theory. It's been debunked over and over again. Jones, he's hitting you right in the heart. But frankly, they don't need to, because everything else you give them is way cheaper and way more powerful. Mm. Your apps collect a ton of data from your phone, your unique device ID, your location, your demographics. We know this. Aggregators pay to pull in data from everywhere. When I use my discount card at the grocery store, every purchase, that's a data set that's for sale. They can match my purchases or the things I steal from the grocery store.
Yeah, I have been getting a lot of salad dressing ads lately.
They can match it to my Twitter account because I gave both those companies my email address and phone number, and I agreed to all that data sharing when I accepted those terms of service and the privacy policy. Here's where it gets truly nuts.
Oh, boy.
Hold on to your butt, Jones.
Yeah.
If my phone
about to get real fast.
If my phone is regularly in the same GPS location as another phone, they take note of that. They start reconstructing the web of people I'm in regular contact with. The advertisers can cross-reference my interests and browsing history and purchase history to those around me. Then it shows me ads based on the people around me. These could be friends, family, coworkers. It will serve me ads for things I don't want, but it knows someone I'm in regular contact with might want. To subliminally get me to start a conversation about, I don't know, toothpaste.
I have wondered why I've gotten so many ads for ramen noodles and Ultimate Irish Peelers lately, but now it all makes sense.
So, in conclusion, your data isn't just about you. It's about how it can be used against every person you know and people you don't to shape behavior unconsciously.
Adam, this is not a unique thought that I'm about to give you.
Okay.
We've gone too far down the road to turn back. But we've all just given up, right? It's like, do I really want them to have all this stuff about me? No, but man, I sure do like using this app. I sure do like having this phone.
I like getting my discounts on my gas purchases. So just go ahead and give them all my information.
Yeah, whatevs. I just saved 10 cents at the pump, baby.
Surely that's worth my personal independence. That's what our forefathers thought. We'll give away this nation for 10 cents per gallon. Susan Yald, forever known as a potty winner.
Yeah, that's right.
Tweeted, how old does the ACC network think UNC football fans are? This was during the Georgia Tech game. We've got ads for hearing aids and canes. Adam and Jones, which would you like for Christmas? I thought the best ad, but Susan's right. There was a very happy middle-aged gentleman who got a new hearing aid, and I mean, it made his life so much better. It just his personality went from like a 6 to an 8.
Adam, I have a question. Who made it possible for Bernice and Joy to go all the way to the Grand Canyon?
All around.
Hey, Bernice and Joy, tell everyone which power wheelchair got you to the Grand Canyon.
All around.
I thought the best commercial was for this device. I think it was called the ID blocker.
Mm. Oh, ooh.
Basically, they've invented a black Sharpie.
Mm.
It's this thing. It only costs $9.99. Oh. Well, that was only for a limited time.
What if I buy two, though?
Well, I'm not sure, but it was only for a limited time on Saturday, so probably the price is back up to $50 or something. What it does is it blacks out your address on the mail that you're throwing away.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Who could have ever thought of this?
Sharpie, they made the black Sharpie. But you just, and the people who use this, they were so proud of themselves.
Yeah. Guys, go ahead and hit the I agree to the privacy terms on that app. But hold on, let me cross off this address on here.
I've got the ID blocker. So ACC Network continues to knock it out of the park with all their various devices they're trying to sell us. Okay, Bobby Cooper. Bobby Cooper, thank you, sir. Thank you for your service and for keeping your eye out on what's happening in the world of Hallmark Christmas movies.
Which, by the way, Adam, I don't think I'm overstating this. I swear I saw that they're starting the Christmas stuff on October 23rd.
We're about to find out.
Oh, okay, okay.
Bobby Cooper sends us this article from ScreenRant.com.
Looking at it right now.
I don't want to commit anything to the Christmas spectacular this far in advance, but it sure sounds like we've got our winner, ladies and gentlemen. Back to the Future stars to reunite in Hallmark. Jones, don't you read ahead. We're doing a Mad Lib about the plot.
Oh, okay.
Don't you read ahead, sir.
Man, it's been a while since we've done this.
I know. Back to the Future stars. Christopher Lloyd and Leah Thompson, definitely the two people that they think of when they think of Back to the Future.
The two biggest stars in Back to the Future
will reunite in an upcoming Hallmark Christmas movie. Both actors, blah, blah, blah. Lloyd played Doc Brown. Okay, we know. Thompson played...
gave whatever to charity, saved this many lives in Africa, blah, 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 blah.
Thompson played Marty's alcoholic mother. Okay, yes, right. If there's one channel that could bring these stars back together in holiday style, it's Hallmark. In recent years, Hallmark has risen to the top of the heap.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
When it comes to providing...
Yeah, you really dropped the ball, Lifetime. You had a chance, and you've lost it. Kind of like how Skype had a chance, and it got totally dominated by Zoom.
Yeah, you got Zoomed, Lifetime. Providing nonstop Christmas content for fans of holiday romance. Their popular countdown...
Which,
to Christmas
who isn't?
Yeah, you just described America. Their popular countdown to Christmas marathon will begin the week before Halloween.
I mean, Adam... even I think that might be a little much.
A new movie arriving every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday starting October 22nd.
Holy God. And then, so when do you think we go to the 24 hours a day Christmas? Thanksgiving?
Tomorrow. Okay. Per Entertainment Weekly, Hallmark is bringing Thompson and Lloyd back together in Next Stop Christmas.
Choo-choo!
Jones, the title is Next Stop Christmas.
Yep. Okay.
Bear that in mind. It will air on Hallmark, write this down right now, on November 6th in that prime Saturday slot at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, 7 p.m. Central.
Adam, it says here the Tar Heels are kicking off against Pittsburgh here on November. Sorry, Jones, I can't watch it. Next stop, Christmas.
November 6th, Tar Heels face Wake Forest in a non-conference game.
Oh, my gosh.
That, Jim Phillips, it's Adam. That needs to be an afternoon game.
Yeah. We've got some important stuff happening.
Next Stop Christmas is on at 8. That cannot be a 7:30 game or I will not be able to go to the game.
Adam's going to be like, why can't I record the game? Oh, there's already multiple things recording here on the DVR. What is this? Oh, Next Stop Christmas.
Why did I record Next Stop Christmas in Spanish? Well, you just never know. Feliz Navidad, Doug Brown. Okay, Jones. Use all your knowledge of Hallmark Christmas movies to fill in the following blanks. The film tells the story of Angie, a woman who regrets turning down
her dream job.
An ex-boyfriend.
No!
Who went on to become
a movie star.
Oh, you're so close.
Close, a famous sportscaster. When she takes the train to return to
her hometown.
Oh, yeah, of course. She finds it controlled by a...
hold on, let me just say, goblin? No, hold on, say, okay, when she returns to her hometown, she finds it controlled by a big city corporation.
What's the title of the film, Jones?
Next Stop Christmas.
Right. A mysterious conductor.
He controls the town?
The entire town. That's why he's so darn mysterious. We're under the gaze of the mysterious conductor, Doc Brown.
Honey, I want to go to the store. Have you checked with the conductor? It's okay. You can't get there. Just use GoPuff. Use the GoPuff app. That'll be fine.
This entire village is under the vile clutches of the mysterious conductor. Okay. And ends up transported.
Oh, this is my guess again.
Yeah.
Back in time.
Gotta get back in time.
I deem you to be correct. A decade into her past.
Well, yes. I mean, Adam. Yeah.
Well, you didn't specifically say how far. We don't have any more details than that, but from the two first look images released, who could have foreseen this? It appears obvious Christopher Lloyd will be playing the conductor, with Thompson most likely playing the mother.
Wow. So, our actress goes home for Christmas.
Right.
This evil conductor, maybe he's not evil. We don't know that answer.
He's just mysterious. What if he's Santa?
Takes her back in time.
To when she loved Christmas.
And maybe she's going to find something in her heart that helps her. See, this is going to be one of those scenarios where when you tell me that, I think one of two things. I can get off those elevators and turn right
and say that she's going to realize that maybe she, her life isn't so bad after all,
right,
and that she doesn't want to end up with the ex-boyfriend, and that she should have the spirit of Christmas in her heart and embrace what she already has.
Right.
Or I can turn left off that elevator, Adam, go straight to the Tar Heel locker room and realize that she should realize she's made some mistakes in her life, needs to embrace the spirit of Christmas like she did back in the past, and she's going to end up with her ex-boyfriend, and maybe then they can all be happy.
Well, first of all, how is the Bluk dog not in this as the famous sportscaster?
Do we know that he's not?
No, because we don't have all the casting details. That's a good... get the Bluk dog on the horn.
Yeah.
Bluk dog. Remember, Bluk dog was writing a Christmas movie. What if this is it?
I have to say, I'm excited.
That's less than a month away, the kickoff to Christmas.
Obviously. Adam, before I go, can I just tell you about one wacky scenario that happened the other day?
You were talking to this mysterious conductor who had the entire
town. All of a sudden, I went
back
in time. So I ordered some food and used an app to go, because I'm all on
GoPuff.
Right. Now, this was at like a restaurant.
Okay.
So placed my order to go pick up the food.
Sure.
So I go, and normally when it's ready, they kind of lay it out for you on the little table, and you know, you can just go grab it. Well, it wasn't quite ready yet. So I kind of just loiter around the table, and they're like, "Sir, do you need something?" I was like, "Oh, I ordered on the app." And they said, "Well, what's your name?" And I said, "It's Jones." And they said, "Oh, we've got yours right here." And so like they're finishing up, but Adam, here's the wacky part. Because I said, actually, I said, it's Jones Angel. I think I even said that. This order was for Angela Jones.
What?
And so Angela Jones and Jones Angel had placed these back-to-back app orders. And it was massive confusion here for a second, where the person who was picking it up for Angela Jones and me there to get it for Jones wanted the same bag of food. And so then we realized the mistake, and oh, universe, you're so wacky.
What a standoff.
Yeah. Angela was very pleasant.
Was it the Angela, or was it someone picking up for Angela?
I can only assume it was Angela. I didn't have all her data off her phone to know for sure.
Yeah, well, you'll be getting that.
Yeah, I'll be getting it soon, though. I know I've told you this before, that there was my mom at one point was a school teacher and had a kid in her class called Angel Jones, and we always joked that we'd get married to be Angel Jones Angel. That'd be hilarious.
But that didn't work
out. Spoiler alert, it didn't. But if I go back home and see a conductor, maybe we can go back in time and make it happen.
I've been transported back in time 2 decades.
Adam, anything else?
Leah, be at the clock tower at midnight.
That's right. She goes, this is a strange conductor. Where are you taking me? Oh, where we're going. We don't need tracks. Okay. We have an interview that's really, really good. I don't know if we're airing it on Friday or if we're going to do something different. I just don't know yet.
You be nice to us.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll run that one.
Yeah, I just don't know what the plan quite is yet for Friday. But I'm going to tell you, we have got one that we've been after a long time. And we've got it.
Michael Jordan.
It's not Michael Jordan. It is not Michael Jordan.
Or is it? It's not.
But
what if it is?
You'll have to tune in and find out. But for now, we're going to let Corey Holiday and the RZA get us out of here on the latest edition of The Carolina Insider.
I'm Corey Holiday. See you later, Big Grits.
When I'm a small, nothing at all. We used to eat grits for dinner.
Pound box of sugar and a stick of margarine. A hot pot of grits kept my family from starving. Steamy hot meal served less than 5 minutes. Big silver pot boiling water salt in it. House full of brothers and sisters, the pot's missing. Pilgrim on a box on the stove in the kitchen.
When I was small, we had nothing.
See you later, Big Grit.
The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Tar Heel Sports Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.